This morning, our speaker is Doug Traversa. He's the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church in Tullahoma. He completed his seminary studies at Meadville Lombard Theological School in Chicago. Doug is active in a Soto Zen Buddhist group at his church. Today, Doug will speak on the topic, how many happy holidays are there? Let's welcome Doug Traversa.
As always, it's good to be out here with you, and I appreciate the fact you keep inviting me back month after month. So, this is the holiday season, and so it's the inevitable holiday sermon, which I don't like to do sermons tied to holidays. I rarely do it. And this may be the last time I do one, and after I'm finished, you'll understand why. I have a strange relationship with Christmas. As a youth, as many of you are, I'm sure, you enjoyed, or perhaps hated, that delightful and agonizing torment as you waited for Christmas Day to come so you could rip into the gifts under the tree, assuming you did celebrate it and did that on Christmas morning. Some do it on Christmas Eve, some don't celebrate it at all, or maybe it's just one or two gifts. One of the things I learned early on in my life was that Christmas isn't really the same for everyone. I started to understand that there were socioeconomic differences. Just down the street from me, three houses down, my best friend at the time, Christmas morning, we got together after we had our family time and opened our gifts, and I said, "What'd you get for Christmas?" And in our family, we probably would open at least 10 gifts per kid. Now, it was a generous time for my parents, and there was a lot of stuff under the tree. And he said, "Well, I got this car, and I got some candy." I said, "What else did you get?" He thought, and then, "Well, I got one other little thing." And I said, "Is that it?" And then it dawned on me that not everyone had the same kind of a Christmas I had. And I had no idea. I didn't understand the economic disparity at the time. I was in third grade, but we lived in the same neighborhood. They were struggling. So Christmas isn't always a joyous time for everyone, even for the kids. Sometimes it's a real struggle for the parents to provide anything under the tree. And I started to learn that. As I got older, you know, the desire to count down those days to Christmas started to dwindle. And the thing that helps to illustrate this whole, let's get December over with so we can get to Christmas Day and open the gifts, nothing illustrates that better than Advent calendars. If you've never done one of those as a kid, that's where you have some kind of a poster or something where every day you open a door and there's either a little picture behind it, or it's the 3D version, there might be a piece of candy in it or something. And every day as a kid, you just sit there and stare at it, counting the days until you get to open all those gifts. And you really just are wishing December away. You're wishing a month of your life away so you can open the present. Nowadays, as we're older, we realize we don't want to wish a day of our life away because they're precious. But as a kid, it's just get it over with. As I got older, I realized that wasn't such a big deal. It would come and I could enjoy December instead of just trying to rush through it. And I've always enjoyed the lights and the decorations and even the Christmas music, which some people will complain about. I always enjoyed listening to it. But as a minister, it's becoming harder and harder for me personally to get really worked up about Christmas. Early on in my ministry, I would talk about the Christmas myth. You know, most of the Bible stories that are associated with Christmas, people either misunderstand or fail to realize that they're just stories. They're not historically accurate. You know, the census that allegedly drove everyone back to their hometown to be counted, it caused Mary and Joseph to have to be traveling. Well, that just didn't happen. It would have made zero sense for the Romans to make everybody go back to their hometown to get counted. There's no evidence that happened. So I would talk about things like that, and people were really put off. It's like, you're so negative. What? I thought it was rather interesting to look at Christmas myths, but people just want you to keep your hands off Christmas, even Unitarian Universalists. Stay away from Christmas. You can beat up anything else you want, but don't mess with Christmas. So, okay, I stopped messing with Christmas. But at the same time, it's really hard for me every time the holidays roll around, and let's face it, Christmas is the big bruiser on the holiday block. I'd just rather talk about something else. I don't have anything more to say about it. You don't want to know that the census didn't happen? Okay, we'll talk about something else. And you know, I'm also the guy, guilty as charged. Do you have any little kids in here? I want to let this. Oh, is it okay? Santa Claus is a story. When I was young, my mother never lied to me. And to this day, I'm convinced my mother never lied to me, except about Santa Claus. And I was just trying to figure out this Santa thing. I think I was in third grade, and, you know, our house didn't have a chimney. And, you know, they did the old, well, he's got a magic key. Well, why are all these Santa Clauses in the stars? Well, those are elves. They're just helping them out. And after a while, I asked one too many questions, and my mom just said, it's just a story. There is no Santa Claus. Now, you could have, at that point, assumed I had been just impaled on a stake by my mother when she told me there was no Santa Claus. I was hurt more than I'd ever been hurt. Mortified that my mother, who never lied to me about something this big. I mean, this is the guy who knows everything and gives you good stuff. Sound like anyone else we know? All-knowing. Knows if you've been naughty or nice, and will reward you or give you lumps of coal. If she lied about that, what else might she have lied about? It was sort of about that same time in my life where I had this beautiful golden book of dinosaurs, which I just saw in the store the other day, so it still exists. And I read that book. I read the book in third grade. And it talked, it had the evolutionary timeline at the bottom of every page. And it finally dawned on me, this doesn't jive with the Bible story. I said, hey, Mom, what's going on? You know, I thought God made all the animals, but this book says they all evolved. And she had to say at that point, well, some people think that evolution is the way God made all the animals. And we sort of blew that off and moved on. So at that early age, I was starting to have all these understandings that the stories we're told aren't always completely accurate. And so, I'm that Grinch. I'm the Grinch that tells people, don't lie to your kids, even with the best intentions, even if you think it's fun. It can have negative consequences. Well, what did you do with your kids? I told them, here's this really cool story. It's a story. It's fun. And then we moved on from there. And you know what? None of my kids had any less enjoyment at Christmas time because I was straight with them. But you tell that to people and they just go through the roof. What? You don't tell your kids about Santa Claus? What are you, a Grinch? Yeah, I'm a Grinch. But, you know, so that's the weird sort of Christmas thing I got going on. And about this time of year, if you watch the news, which I've absolutely stopped watching the news, I can't bear it anymore. But you'll start hearing those stories about the war on Christmas. And I don't know if that's going on this year or not, because there's all sorts of other fun things to talk about. But certainly in the past, it's been, oh, you said happy holidays. You're obviously a devil worshiper, and you hate the country, and you hate everybody because you didn't say Merry Christmas, and I'm not going to sell anything to you, and I'm going to boycott your business or whatever other nonsense is going on because you dared say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. And it's exemplified by a post I saw on that source of all knowledge, Facebook, which shows a grumpy old man staring out at you, and it says, so somebody at the store wished you a happy holiday and ruined your day. Perhaps you should ask Santa to give you a life. Indeed. I don't care if someone says happy holidays or Merry Christmas or nothing. Because when they're saying something to you, it's meant in the best spirit. and why everyone in this world can't just accept it as a, they're saying something nice and I should be thankful, whether I believe it or not, whether I practice it or not, who cares? Well, get a life, ask Santa for one. But when people get upset about it, it's almost like they're saying, in fact, I actually heard someone say this, one pundit, let's get real. We all know what it's all about Christmas. What other holidays are we really celebrating at this time of year? So when you say happy holidays, we know you mean Merry Christmas. There's nothing else going on in December, right? And yet there is, surprisingly enough. So this holiday season has a strong pull on everyone, regardless of your religious, philosophical, or ethical inclinations. You might celebrate a religious Christmas, the birth of Jesus. You might have a secular Christmas with Santa Claus and flying reindeer and toys and presents under the tree. In fact, the country of Japan has happily adopted Christmas, even though it's largely a non-religious nation, certainly a non-Christian nation. And to them, Christmas has become like a second Valentine's Day almost. Christmas Eve is a time for couples. And fried chicken, absolutely. KFC, you have to pre-order your fried chicken for that Christmas meal. And yeah, it's not a holiday, you still work on Christmas, but you got Christmas decorations everywhere. You know, they love that. It's beautiful. Why not? Why not enjoy the winter and have some decorations? And no matter who you are, you're hard-pressed to get away from Christmas music unless you don't go to a store for the entire month of mid-October, November, December. You see decorations lining the streets and on the houses and in the yards. My son managed to find, much to my delight, giant inflatable Star Wars Christmas things. They've got Star Wars Christmas decorations now. How cool is that? But I would also say that the fact that literally before Halloween, I'm seeing Christmas stuff in the stores, has actually soured me to the holiday season. It's just way too long now. And I just don't want to see it in October. That's obscene. But as we talk about this notion of happy holidays, I'm going to give you a quick rundown on many of the holidays that do occur in December, some you know about and some perhaps not. And it all starts with Saturnalia, an ancient Roman festival in honor of the god Saturn, which was originally held on the 17th of December. Then it expanded and went from the 17th to the 23rd. This holiday, what a coincidence, included gift-giving, feasts, reversals of roles where the slaves would be waited on by the masters. Though not celebrated today, there are many who will argue that Christmas traditions come from this holiday. And let's face it, Christmas was a pagan holiday of one sort or another that was co-opted by the Catholic Church, as they did with many holidays. So let's not pretend anything other than we're celebrating a pagan holiday that's been re-imaged, if you will, by some into a Christian holiday, but the roots go way back. I was going to talk about Chalica, but you stole my thunder already. But if you're not friends with Monica, she posts one each day on Facebook about Chalica. It's our own little Unitarian Universalist holiday. Odds are very few people who wish you a happy holidays are including Chalica in that, because there's only about 200,000 of us in the world, give or take. But nonetheless, a December holiday. And the Buddhists are also included in December for Rohatsu, or Bodhi Day, or Awakening Day, or Enlightenment Day. This is when the Buddhists celebrate the enlightenment or awakening of the Buddha, Siddhartha Gautama. In Zen monasteries, Rohatsu, the 8th of December, which literally means the 8th day of the 12th month, is the celebration of a week-long just Buddhist party. Because you know the Buddhists know how to party, right? The Buddhist party by a week long, we're going to sit and stare at a wall. And on that seventh day, we're going to go really wild. We're going to do it all night, too. Woo-hoo! So that is is Rohatsu, a week-long session, which is a retreat session followed by an all-nighter of silence, sitting, staring at a wall. Speaking is forbidden unless absolutely necessary. I cannot believe I've adopted this religion of all the religions in the world to pray. It is traditional during that week that each session gets longer and longer into the night until you do the all-nighter. So we missed that one, but happy holidays can include that also. We have Kwanzaa, which was created in 1966. And I'm going to butcher names probably, but I'll give it a try. Dr. Maulana Karanga, professor of Africana Studies at California State University, Long Beach. It was designed to be a cultural holiday, not religious, so people of all faiths could participate. It celebrated seven communitarian African values: unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. And this runs from December 26th to January 1st, each day being devoted to one of those principles. You also have Pancha Ganapati, which was created in 1985. It's a five-day Hindu festival. And the creator acknowledges, I'm tired of my kids not having any fun around Christmas time, so we're going to have a Hindu fun holiday also. December 21st through 25th, it's in honor of Lord Ganesh, patron of the arts and guardian of culture. It was designed to run concurrently with the December holiday season. And Lord Ganesh, also known as Pancha Ganapati, is depicted as a five-headed god, the heads being elephant heads on a human body. A shrine is built to him in the living room, and it's decorated in a different color each day, going yellow, blue, red, green, and orange. Flashing lights and tinsel and ornaments may be used, and wrapped gifts are given to the children each day, which are placed at the shrine and opened on the fifth day. Much like Christmas, except instead of a tree, you have Lord Ganesh at the center. And so you can see that people from many faiths and many backgrounds have said, this is kind of fun for the kids. Let's create something that they can enjoy also. Hanukkah, I've heard described as a very minor Jewish holiday, on par with, say, Arbor Day, and yet it's grown because of when it occurred, so that the Jewish children could have some fun at Christmas time and not just look longingly at all the loot the Christian kids are getting for this secular kid. So, all these holidays... What?
Christmas was minor too, wasn't it?
It was at one point.
Yeah.
Now it's become an extremely... economically important for all the toy sellers, or apparently for people who just on a whim go out and buy a Lexus for their spouse. That's not the world I live in, but some people apparently do it. But what's going on now is when we greet people and we say happy holidays, that really does have some meaning. Yeah, it's possible that people are doing it to be politically correct, but all you have to do is stop and think about the world we live in and the wide variety of beliefs in our country and the backgrounds of all the different people that make up this melting pot that is the American population. Saying happy holidays really does have meaning. It's not just a way of avoiding offense. It's a way of acknowledging there's a whole lot going on now and a lot we may not be aware of. So it doesn't have to be about a war on Christmas. We don't want to say the word Christmas. We don't want to give preeminence to the Christian holiday over all the other ones. It simply acknowledges that there's a lot of different holidays going on. Conversely, if anyone says Merry Christmas, don't be offended. Please don't be offended. No one's saying it, I hope, to be insulting to you. Maybe there are some who do. There may be, I grant you that, but most people are just saying it out of a sense of goodwill, and we should take it that way. Now, since it is, you know, the holiday season, the gift-giving season, the Christmas season, I do have a little bit of a gift for you also, an insight that ties in nicely also with one of the hymns we sent today. It comes from a Unitarian Universalist minister, Nathan C. Walker. And it was from a book he wrote entitled Exorcising, not exercising, like doing sit-ups and push-ups, but exercising, like kicking out demons or kicking out bad things, exercising preaching, crafting intellectually honest worship. Now that's a title that grabs my attention right there. What is it we're trying to get out of our preaching that's so bad? Now I don't have the book, but the section that I was able to read online includes this paragraph. Think carefully about what he's saying. He talks about how we, and this includes everyone, not just people preaching, how you talk to others about important things. God talk, born from banal platitudes, diminishes the power of theology. I strive to emancipate myself from such practices, beginning by taking the vow to speak only for myself. I will not speak for God, for scriptures, or on behalf of any religious community. Using I statements allows me to lay the foundation to transform theological cliches into hard-won lessons that lay claim to no celestial rewards. I do not claim to know if everything happens for a reason, or if a tragedy is really a blessing in disguise. Exiling these kinds of stock phrases is one step in my attempt to develop a principled, trustworthy ministerial identity. So in short, what he's saying is, I'm going to get rid of cliches. I'm not going to tell you what God thinks. I'm not going to tell you what scriptures say. I'm going to tell you what I know and what I think. And I'm going to acknowledge that it's what I understand. I'm not going to speak for other people. And if you think about that in terms of the hymn we sang, 145, that's Tranquil Streams, I love this hymn, but the second line especially. Free from the bonds that bind the mind to narrow thought and lifeless creed. Free from that. Free from a social code that fails to serve cause of human need. And then it goes on to say, a freedom that reveres the past, but trusts the dawning future more, and bids the soul in search of truth adventure boldly and explore. Adventure boldly and explore. We are the free church. The notion of the free church could be several terms. But the gift to us in this gift-giving season is this notion that we are in a church where we sing out loud, we revere the past, but we're looking to the future. We're encouraging each one of you to explore, to seek out. We are encouraging you to be intellectually honest with yourself and with each other. We don't need to pretend. We can be honest about what we don't know, and we don't need to fear that we will cross some creedal line that says, well, you've done it now. You can't be a UU anymore. We're going to make you either repent, recant, or you're going to lose your membership. Sadly, we can't excommunicate you and then have you executed like they did in the good old days, but you're really in big trouble because you believe something just a little bit off of what is the acceptable line you may not cross. And that sounds silly, except that's how human history has been. You just go back and look at all the martyrs, and they were killed for what to us look like the absolute most stupid things to kill somebody for. You don't believe Jesus is God? Well, we will just have to burn you. How dare you think something so horrific? We live in a free country, and we are in a free church. And that is a gift to the and so rare in the world. If you look around at many countries, this sort of freedom does not exist, not even remotely, but we have. We're not thrown in jail for heresy. We are not executed for suggesting that, for instance, Muhammad wasn't a prophet, or Jesus wasn't God. Death sentences aren't given to us if we draw a cartoon that is offensive. And we can claim that scriptures are not inspired by God, but merely the words of men and women. And we don't have to fear for our lives here. And in this church, we can dare think freely and explore and take from all of human history, human thought, philosophy and religion, ethical teachings. And then, most importantly of all, it comes down to you. You must make some sense of it. Figure out how you're going to live your life. Do not give up that freedom to someone else who will then tell you, you must do this and this and this and this. The world is filled with people who are happy to do that for you. Religious hucksters who will claim to know the mind of God, who will claim to have the only accurate interpretation of Scripture. Do not give up your great gift of free thought and self-determination. And so with that, I hope that in this holiday season, we can take some time out, whether you were participating in the remembrance each day of one of our seven principles for Chalice, or if you are just going into the Christmas or whatever holiday you practice season and think about gifts, goodwill, and all these things that are tied with hopefully a happy time for you, keep in mind also that great gift we have, the free church and our freedom within that church. Thank you so much for coming today and being here with us, your presence.